Hey there, welcome to Doing Life Differently. I'm Caitlin James and I'm your host. And today we are going to be talking about when business and ministry meet and the beauty of blending two parts of our lives together into one of the greatest purposes of our life and seeing God use us. But I am actually not alone. I am sitting here, so nice not to be alone, with my good friend Becca, who is also a KJP team member and has been for almost a year now, which is crazy. So welcome, Becca.
Hi, thanks.
I'm excited that you're here.
This is going to be fun.
And the reason Becca's here is because, one, we work together all the time, and two, she has podcast experience, and I just thought, and she thought, great idea, we should maybe not have me sit in a basement talk to myself. Like, maybe we should have someone talk to me. And I'm like, that sounds like a great idea.
There's so many times you say things and I listen to it after. I'm like, oh, I want to know more about that.
Yes.
Like, tell me about that.
Yes.
But in your head, you're probably like, oh, people already know.
Yes.
And it'll be good to just pause and be like, wait, stop, Caitlin. Tell me a little bit more about whatever it is you just said.
Well, and I talk so fast and talk so much that I don't really recognize when there's things that people listening would be like, wait, can you explain that? No one's here to tell me.
Yeah.
So now we have someone here.
Now I'm here.
and it may not be every episode, but I'm excited to have kind of like a partner in crime to be able to do this well and to be able to have episodes that will help empower people to apply what we're talking about even more because there's someone to help me guide through this. So I'm excited about today. We're talking about business and ministry together, which is a huge part of our story. And we have not covered this yet in the podcast.
Yeah, a lot of this started with, we have the subject matter. You know, we have all the different colors of the podcast and all those things like, oh, we need to bring in the faith component of that.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that had just been, oh, well, we don't know what to talk about yet. There's so much. And you've really weaved, you, as you have said, like, you can't separate your faith from any of these.
Right.
But this one, to really hone in and talk about what people know you for, which is weaving your faith into your business.
Right.
Yeah. So this will be really good.
Yes.
And I think I would love for you to just share how, when you even got started, was that even a decision that you made? Was like, oh, I'm going to weave my faith into my business.
Right.
Or was it something completely different?
That's a great question. And I didn't really think of it that way because Michael was going into youth ministry. So in my mind, it was like, we're going to get married. I'm marrying a youth pastor. That is how we are going to change the world. And that wasn't wrong. It was just a very limited view of what our life would be. And I look back now, I was thinking about this episode this morning, and I was thinking about how there have been so many seasons in my life where I had this like concrete, this is the way it is, this is my reality, and I wouldn't consider anything else. And this was one of those things. I'm like, no, ministry happens in like a ministry setting. And I know that that's not true. I've grown up knowing that your life is a ministry. Your life is serving in the name of Jesus and showing the world the goodness of who he is. But it wasn't real to me until Michael left youth ministry. And I had this meltdown where I'm like, no, you can't not be a youth pastor. Like, that's our way to like, that's our connection.
That's our ministry.
That is our ministry.
Yeah.
So we can't lose our ministry. And I had so many people, wise people older than us, one couple in particular, the Chandlers. John Chandler started a program for young leaders in the Christian world. It's called Uptick. And Michael was a part of that. So we met through that. Anyway, we were just in crisis mode trying to figure out what to do. And we called them one day and they invited us to just come to Charlottesville and eat dinner with them out of the blue. And I remember thinking that was so kind of them. You know, their children were pretty much grown. They were empty nesters and they just like opened up their home. And I remember sitting at their table and they were just like, the kids will be okay. The youth group kids will be okay. That was our big fear. Like, they're going to be so sad. Like, they will be okay. But like, you have to understand, like, this is just a pivot in your life and a pivot in your ministry. It's not the end of your ministry. I didn't go in thinking that this was my ministry because Michael, in my mind, was filling that role for us, which is such a limiting perspective.
Well, but it's the traditional perspective.
Yes.
I think that people have is like, oh, well, ministry means like my job title is pastor, or minister, leader, something like that.
Yes.
But ministry isn't just the title that you have working for a church or religious organization.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think because I grew up as a pastor's kid my entire life, I was so excited that like, well, we still like that role's still in my life.
You know that life.
Yes, I know that life. It was very, I was always connected to somebody who was in leadership at a church who was, and we had a very positive experience in the church. So yeah, I was a little sad to leave that. But now that I've been, you know, 15, 16 years on the other side of that decision, maybe not that long. It's been a long time though. It's been over a decade. I realize oh, if only more people could see the beauty of doing ministry. I know it's cliche, but in the marketplace, like living out your life and your faith and who you're called to be because of what Jesus did for you in more than just a church setting. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I was so limited. And now that I've been doing it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what we were actually called for. The Lord doesn't just say, like, go become a pastor and those are the people that change lives. Like, sure, that's a great calling. Like, I've seen my dad change thousands of people's lives, but that's not just for pastors. Like, how mm-hmm. isolating to think that was my only way to impact people.
So did you feel like, you just mentioned like the calling. It sounds like when you got started with your photography, it wasn't like you woke up one day like, oh, the Lord called me to pick up a camera and start doing this. Like, you were just passionate and excited and wanting to share. And it was the era of Facebook and sharing, and it was like natural to do that. Did you, and then obviously when you kind of shifted into education, did you feel the calling of like, I'm supposed to educate others? Or was it just an overflow and maybe you woke up one day like, oh, I see, like this is the purpose of what I'm supposed to be doing?
I feel like I had glimpses of, oh, like I can really make people feel like they can feel that there's something different about me. When I was shooting their weddings. And people would say that. Like, people would make comments about that. So I started feeling that a little bit.
Well, what did they say?
They would say things like, and some of them were believers. If they were believers, then they would use words that are like Christianese. You know, they'd say like, you're just such a light. And I'm like, okay.
You're such a light.
That's very sweet of you. And I very much appreciated that.
And you, like, are. I'm not laughing to diminish that.
No, thank you. But when that came from someone who's a believer, I'm like, that, I get what they're saying. Like, they can see the hope and the light and the joy of Christ through the way that I treat people and the way that I am. And like, that's such a huge compliment. I mean, if there's any compliment I want to receive in life, it is that. So I take it very seriously. But I think people who maybe don't know the Lord would say things that are a little bit more focused on the way that they experience me from their perspective of like, they'd be like, I am just, when you came, everything just felt more peaceful. As soon as you came in the room, it just felt more peaceful. And I just felt like, okay, I can do my day because Caitlin is here. So I just would have these encounters with people where I realized like I am bringing more than just my camera into their life. Like there's something else that I'm bringing. But it wasn't until several years in that I started seeing like very clear ministry opportunities in the photography industry that just started to roll out in front of me. And I'm like, oh, like it started to become very clear that like, oh, this wasn't just Michael joined me for the simplicity of like, oh, now he could be my second shooter. It's like, no, he's joining me because God has a role for us to play in the wedding industry.
Which is interesting because if you sign up for actual, church ministry or religious organization ministry, you immediately have opportunities, right? But it kind of took some time for that to present itself to you guys.
Yes.
But you had to be open for that to happen.
Yes.
So how did you even in your, I'm not saying like private faith life, but like in your day-to-day faith life of prayer, of quiet times, of reading, how did you insert that into, was that a regular part of your rhythm? Like, was there something you did before you went to the weddings? Did you pray over that? Was any of that woven into the beginning?
Mm-hmm. We do pray before weddings. And always have. I think there's maybe one that we missed, and that was just because we were running late because of traffic. I'm like, I'm going to pray by myself. But normally, like, we pray together and just for the day and to be light and a peaceful presence for this family, multiple families. I would say there was this element of, I remember praying when Michael left ministry, like, if you're calling us away from kids, then you've got to call us into something new. Like, show me how you want to use me in this way. And I did feel this personal desire of like, I don't want to just be a business that makes money. Like, I want to change lives and I want to impact people deeply. And I know I need to make money, obviously, but like ultimately, what good is making a bunch of money if like no one's life was deeply changed by the work that I did? So I remember praying for that and like asking the Lord to give me opportunities. And that's all we really did was just like make us aware. And when your heart shifts from being less about the bookings amount, like, yes, we cared about money because this was our sole income now. Like, we had to come up with a health insurance plan. We lost all that. So, like, yes, we cared about the money, but we were very aware that, like, maybe every single couple that booked with us, it was a purposeful interaction. And I actually used to do presentation on this, like in workshops, and I would show people these pictures of, I have so many stories of people who booked us and then like their life kind of fell apart. Mm-hmm. And we got to be a part of their story, but whether it was like 3 years after the wedding and we formed this relationship, or I mean, I could talk about this for hours.
Tell me one of the stories. Tell us one of the stories. This is one of those moments.
Like prayed with one of my brides in a hotel room. She was also a photographer in California, and like for her to like come to know the Lord and surrounded by all these other women. And how did that happen? You know, and that wasn't just me. That was a community, like people gathering around this amazing woman and like saying like, you, there's an emptiness you feel, and the Lord is like fighting for you, and her realizing like her need for it was beautiful. I will never forget that. I like even could like picture the hotel room, but like praying with her, like for her to like surrender her life, give her life to the Lord. And that was amazing. And then from there, I just started seeing opportunities of whether it was photographing a wedding for a bride who had cancer, and we thought she was going to be okay, but she ended up passing away a few years after her wedding. Mm-hmm. But on her wedding day, you know, Michael's job was like carrying a chair around for her the entire day. He didn't take as many photos, but he was carrying a chair because she couldn't stand that long. Mm. So she'd sit down, I'd tell her like the pose, and then he would help her up, and you know, her husband would help her, and we'd do a few poses, and then she'd sit back down. And like, there was just a awareness of service that changed the way that we showed up on the wedding day. Mm. God showed us, I mean, photographing weddings where parents were dying and the family needed hope. And it wasn't just in the moment. It was almost like these families and these people, these clients, they were attached to us online as well. So as I shared my life and as I shared our perspective on the world and like the hope we have, maybe I never prayed with them in a hotel room, but I know that like it impacted them. And I have screenshots and letters and a whole drawer full of just reminders of God's faithfulness, like that we were used. And so, yeah, a lot of parents that were sick, a lot of broken families that were hurting, and that we were brought into. So like, it's not normal for a bride to confide in me like she would a bridesmaid before her wedding of like, our family's falling apart. This is so hard. Like, but I ended up in those conversations so often, like very personal conversations, like tears, and prayed with a lot of brides in the midst of just sad seasons around their wedding day, which that sounds so negative, but it was so beautiful.
Right.
And that has continued on. And then once James happened, once we lost our son, this is the craziest story. The very wedding that I could not photograph because his memorial service was the day of their wedding. She sent me flowers on her wedding day, even though I wasn't there photographing it, which was, first of all, who thinks like that? Mm-hmm. Then come to find out a year later, they got pregnant and lost a baby just like we did.
Oh my gosh.
Like at the end, lost a little girl. And I walked through that with her. And now she sends James flowers every day on his birthday, every year on his birthday. Oh. And the bride that I never photographed her wedding. Wow. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. The other crazy part is they're starting an Acton now in North Carolina. I mean, so wild. Wow. How things.
Yeah. And well, that's the ripple effect of ministry, like of like using your business as a ministry.
Yes.
And I'm thinking through, like you mentioned, social media and things like that. And one of the things that we know you for is personal branding and sharing. So what would you, I'm like picturing the photographer or the business owner listening who's like, that's great, Caitlin, but like, it feels weird to like take a picture of me and my Bible as I'm doing this. Like, how could I like actually take a step into that without feeling like this is so weird?
This is so awkward. Well, my first thought on that was like, you know what? I don't think if it can let people off the hook, I don't think I've once posted a photo of me sitting reading my Bible. Maybe once in a blue moon. But like, I think that's a great question. I don't think that's how this is shared. I think it's shared. It's an overflow of who you are. In some ways, it's like if you desire this type of impact and life change, it truly does have to come from a place of where you are personally. Because I've had seasons where like this was not the focus. Where like I've been way too focused on the finances, way too focused on the income and the achievement, and like I do think because God is merciful that like he still uses me even when my heart wasn't perfectly in the right place. But I think an overflow of where I am personally is when it comes out in captions, when it comes out in sharing. Like for example, I shared the other night that like I've been going through all this allergy stuff, and every now and then my eyes will still kind of flare up and we don't even know why. But I think my body's just overloaded with. It's just in a weird place. And I get so overwhelmed when that happens because I'm like, I just don't have answers again. And Evie sees that. And Evie, she has this new habit. It's happened 3 times now where she will go upstairs and she will like set up this little area, almost like a little spa for me to make me feel better, and open up this like devotional about like that God is ultimately our healer. And it all these verses.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sharing that not because I'm like, I'm going to minister to the world. I'm sharing it because it's an overflow of goodness in our life that we see God doing in our daughter. And I didn't even share her face. You know, I just shared. And there's so many parents that are like, oh my gosh, this is so inspiring. Can you link that journal? Can you share that devotional? Like, I'd love to do this with my children. So you could say like, well, I don't know if that's ministry, but I think it is. I think it's using social media to share what's actually happening in my life to inspire other people. The amount of people that have DM'd me and have said, I don't have your faith. I'm not a religious person, which is that's a whole other podcast episode. It's like, I'm not either, actually. It's not about religion, but that have said, I'm not a religious person, but there's something about you that gives me hope. There's something that I'm drawn to. And those are fun conversations. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's actually, I know what you're drawn to. Mm-hmm. It's not me. It's something in me that you feel and that you see. And so I think the more that I grow and focus on the heart of my faith, the more the overflow of that, it just happens. So there's no rubric or checklist or template, I don't think, to sharing your faith online. And if there was, it would not seem genuine.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking of, is that if it was like, okay, today's mission is to share my faith on social media.
It's going to fall flat.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And then it's like you've made yourself the hero of like, I'm going to put myself out there
right.
and show how yes. wonderful my Bible reading skills are or whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. And that kind of brings up a good point that my most powerful moments of ministry, like through online content, is in my biggest weakness, which is pretty powerful. That like, me wanting to impact people, the Lord's done that in the biggest ways when I felt like I was at the end of myself. Totally surrendered because I have nothing left. All I have is Him and the promise that He'll never leave me, and showing up. And I know that's hard. And I don't show up in the darkest of days because I'm not ready to. But I think using my story and what He's doing in my life when it's not perfect is when I see Him transform other people's lives and other people pay attention, because it's not that they like to see people hurt. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's relatable because life is hard. That doesn't have a lot of practicality to someone like, oh gosh, when my life falls apart, I guess that's when I'll start sharing. It's like, no, it does come from the overflow of where I am personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed months to be able to, and even in the midst of James losing him, there were months and weeks of just straight grief. You know, no hope, just very heavy. But then there were little moments where I saw the silver lining and I'm like, there are other moms out there that are just like me. And I'm going to speak to that, even though I am not healed and I'm still broken and I'm still in the dark. And God used that vulnerability in a powerful way.
That is so much of like the personal side of like, that is so you weave it so easily into your business. I was thinking, because you've blogged a ton. I don't think I've told yes. you this, but my daughter, my oldest, has read your blog about James.
Oh.
And she sat sweet. There at the computer and was just reading it. And that had some really good conversations. And you've shared those things beautifully with the world. And again, like an outpouring, because I don't want to say like, blogging so easy for you, Caitlin, but like, you know,
yes.
you write it so well and you're doing that for the purpose of, you know, probably processing, but also like, hey, I want to help someone else who's yes. going through this.
Yeah.
But shifting like to the actual business side of
yes.
treating your business like a ministry, what are some ways that you've seen God work in, okay, I'm going to like in the finances, in the planning, in the production, like how have you seen God work when you've mm-hmm. said this is, I'm using this as for your glory and not for mine?
Well, I think, and this sounds very cliche, but it does seem that financially we grow when my focus is not on growing financially, if that makes sense. Like we tend to hit a stride when I am not striving to hit the stride. Like when I'm focused on, which is honestly a business model. Like if you're focused on serving people and loving people well, the overflow of that is normally a very successful business model, because your focus is on solving a problem. And when your focus is not on solving a problem, it's getting conversions to sell as many courses as you can, then like that's, you know, it's not a bad business perspective, but it's, for me, that's not the heart of my business. I feel like from a business perspective, I really feel like we've had seasons of growth. I mean, that's 2018, still our biggest year in business. And I was like not able to work most of it because that's when I was pregnant with James. Mm. Like that, how is that possible? You know, so I think there's an element of surrendering, and not that, oh, if you surrender, the money will just flow, right? That's not always true. What I'm trying to say is I think when my heart is in the right place, the business follows. Business benefits flow in when I really am focused on people and not just the way that they can pay me.
Yeah. There's a really great quote from The Go-Giver that talks about the more people you impact, the more income you receive. Mm-hmm. And I had never really thought about that. But that is for you, that's a very natural, like, well, I just want to, that's a posture that you mm-hmm. naturally have. It's like, I just want to serve people. I want to help people. And I'm thinking through maybe the photographer who is not an educator, or the yes. business owner who is not in a position of like, I yes. am here to serve thousands for free, right? Yes. They're in maybe a one-on-one line, right? Yes. How could you encourage that person who's like, okay, yeah, that's nice, Caitlin, but like I'm only impacting one person at a time.
Yeah. Well, it kind of takes me back to the posing course. I talk so heavily in that course about how like creating an experience for a client is so much more than having a stack of poses in your back pocket. You genuinely can control how they view themselves, how you make them feel just as a human, how welcoming you are, genuinely caring about who they are, forming a friendship with them. Like, there's a way to show up as a photographer that's literally just get the job done. Show up, do the shoot, be pleasant, and then deliver the gallery. And like, what I'm asking photographers to consider is that like that person that booked you, that you're going to drive to a park and meet for this session, like that, what if that was intentional? Even if they're not ideal, even if they're not your favorite client. Like, I've had that happen where people are not my favorite clients. Then later in life, there's some part of our story that overlaps, and it's pretty crazy. It's like, oh my gosh, that's where the purpose was. We don't know. You know, you're not going to know why certain people come into your life and others don't. But I think that I show up to a session thinking like, I am in this place with these people for a reason. And I want them to feel loved. I want them to see the light and the love of Christ in my life. I treat them with that perspective in mind. And then it becomes less about, oh, I just got to get through this. And like, I just got to shoot until the sun goes down and then I'm done. And it becomes more of this relational opportunity that I think a lot of photographers miss. And I get it. We're burned out. We're tired. You're overworked. You have people that don't appreciate you really well. And that's where the beauty of the personal brand comes into effect. Because then it's not just about meeting the family at the park. It's the family at the park that then loves to follow you, engages with your content, and the story of your life impacts their life because you have formed this relationship. So it's seeing your business as more than just a means to an end. You know, you're not just booking, showing up and shooting. You are forming a relationship with people, building a tribe and a community that you can ultimately impact in a really positive way.
You're running your business as a ministry, which you're yes. not even thinking about. It's just yes. part of your outpouring. Whole theme of like, it's just the outpouring to show up at a yes. at a shoot with the outpouring of who you are
yes
onto them matters forms, a ton.
And it forms, I mean, I have a whole talk about community instead of customers. Like, that's a very strategic business model. It works. I've built a $1 million company off of that idea. But your heart has to be in the right place. Mm-hmm. And if you're living in this place of scarcity and no one appreciates me and your workflow is killing you, drowning you, then like, it's very hard to experience all these things that I've been talking about because you're so burdened by all these other aspects of your business. So it really is like, there's no part of all these topics that is not interconnected and woven together.
So if I'm a person of faith listening to this being like, that's me, I'm so burnt out, I'm so like overwhelmed, how do I get to that point of my business is an outpouring of who I am through Christ? Like, what do I do?
I would say it starts with your internal narrative, and I would surrender that to the Lord first. And that is something you don't, I made that sound very simple. Just pray, Lord, I surrender, and it'll just all fall into place. That's not what I'm saying. It's taken me years to be able to fight the urge to be the victim in my story with my business. I feel like the enemy wins and has won in so many different seasons of my business. making me feel like it's all on me. It's all on me. There's so much pressure. Like, oh, I've got to do this, this, and this. And I'm just not working from a place of gratitude and overflow. And so my mind is stuck in all the things I have to do, all the things I have to get done. And there's not really a lot of space in that type of mindset to think, I can't wait to serve this family today at 5 p.m. So I think the foundational start to getting to a place where you genuinely see the potential in the people coming into your business, it starts with realizing that like your internal narrative, the story you're telling yourself about your life and your business and your workload, and that has to be first. That's between you and yourself, you and yourself and the Lord. And so the more that I surrendered that, the more that I started to see opportunity to see my business and my clients differently.
It's not just like a one-time prayer.
No, gosh, no. I mean, it probably took me 5 years. That's not going to sound encouraging. It doesn't have, if you're not stubborn, it won't take you this long. And like I said, the Lord can use you even when you are being stubborn. So like, it's not like you're not going to master any of this. Mm-hmm. But I can tell, and it still happens to me, when my stress level, my victim mentality, my internal narrative about, oh, I have to do all this, that it steals the opportunity of serving people well. And like, I'll leave for a shoot, you know, in a panic of like, oh, I've been emailing with some families recently. I do a lot of family sessions for past KJ couples. I shot their wedding, then I get to see them pregnant, then I meet their babies, and it's a very sweet season to be in. And it's been so fun to email them, trying to figure out some dates, and genuinely just excited to meet their new baby and the baby that's coming. Like, that's such a gift. And I haven't always viewed it that way. I viewed it as, oh, this is another date that I have to give up. Mm. And so I think that has to be the first shift of recognizing that, like, that is a wall between you and your ministry, that mindset. So we've got to work through that before we can start showing up with the perspective of, like, I am with this couple for an hour for a reason. Mm-hmm. What, Lord, show me that reason. Let me be a light. Let me love them. Let me like bring conversations up, like let them share something with me that I can speak into their life, and that will happen, mm-hmm. you know? So in a practical sense, before you go to a shoot, ask for opportunities, like ask the Lord for conversations, and I always try to say, let me be aware that there's something that I could lean into with someone. Cause if you're just shooting and you're moving and you're fat, sometimes it's like, oh, that would have been a great conversation, but I was too busy. Mm-hmm. So let me be aware. But then the foundational work at home is, where is my internal narrative, my mindset, where I am in relationship to my business, stealing potential for ministry from mm-hmm. me? Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking to kind of like go to the other side of this with, you know, Evie being, she's about to turn 8.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So, and you guys are having conversations. Does any of this get brought up with her? Like, do you find opportunity with her or, I know Graham's a little bit behind age-wise, yes, but yes. Do you find opportunities to talk about your business as a ministry with her? Is that something that's ever come up with her?
Yes. And she is at the cusp of like really getting it. So these conversations are so fun because I'm trying to focus on with her. She's asking questions like, Mama, do you have $1,000? And I'm like, I do. And then she'll say, do you have $1,000,000? I'm like, well, first of all, why are you asking me this? And secondly, it's a pivot back to impact before income. So like, I want her to focus on and learn about the impact. I'm like, I don't know if I have $1,000,000. Not right now. I don't have $1,000,000 right now. That's a whole other conversation about like dividing up wealth and real estate. I'm like, we're not going to go there. But with her, I'll say, I may not have $1,000,000, but I can tell you that I have impacted and my business has impacted. God's used me to help thousands of people, not a million, but thousands of people get better at their business to serve their families better. And I can show you like their faces. I can show you their work. I can show you their wins in the Facebook group. And she's starting to understand that Mama's gift in photography is being duplicated and helping all these people. And like, that's what I want her to see. And it's not just Mama's gift with her camera. I think she's seeing glimpses of like, it's also who her mom is and who I'm allowing God to create, and what he's doing in me is overflowing into other people's lives. So I want her to focus on that impact and less about how much money does the business bring in, mm-hmm. right? Because she doesn't really understand net and gross and paying team members. She doesn't get it. But that is happening, and mm-hmm. it's really, really cool. And I've been trying to be trying to steward her little heart well and that she's introduced to the right concept of business first. Mm-hmm. So she enters into the concept of business with serving and not just the money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have like two last questions for you. What are you currently reading or studying that's really impacting you right now?
I just got back from a girls' trip and with friends, and they have shared a few sermons. They're like, oh my gosh, these are life-changing. I'm like, oh, I need to listen to more sermons online. These are really good. So they were really encouraging to me. I just read, and I mentioned this in another podcast, The Needs of the Heart by Chip Dodd. And I honestly never even heard of the guy before, but that book has had a ripple effect on so many conversations. And it led me to get Voice of the Heart, which is the first book. So I'm reading through that right now. And it really, honestly, is speaking to understanding what I need as a person, which is honestly tied to ministry, and it's tied to, because like if you can't understand what you need, you can't give from an empty cup. And I've given from an empty cup for like a really long time. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I've kind of mastered how to just keep giving even when there's nothing left to give, which takes a toll physically. It takes a toll mentally, emotionally. And so I'm learning that if I want to be someone who serves and ministers to people and has a business that pours out, like I've got to pour in more. And it's not just read the right books and listen to the right podcasts. It's like, no, I've got to understand what I actually need. And these two books speak to that, The Voice of the Heart and The Needs of the Heart. It's helping me realize all the different ways as an entrepreneur, as an Enneagram 3, as an achiever, all the ways I've silenced needs in my own life just because I'm not wired to listen to them. So if I want my business to keep moving forward as a ministry, I get the opportunity to start listening to myself more. Even in this season of the weird allergy stuff and the weird health stuff, I've noticed like I've been more aware of like when I'm dehydrated. Like I'm just paying more attention to every little thing that I feel. And I'm like, I realize now I've spent 7 years like breastfeeding babies and not picking up on those cues. Like how did my body... It's just been depleted and I haven't been listening to it. Like so I'm in a season of learning to listen so that I can keep serving people the way I want to.
What do you think the Lord is teaching you right now currently about your business?
That I need people. That's what I've learned. And that needing people is a gift to other people. You know, I'm also learning that a lot of things that I've said I have to do, I just have, like a lot of that's flexible. And that I like feeling pressure in order to be successful, and that doesn't have to correlate. I can be successful and be healthy at the same time. So that's an overarching thing. What I'm learning in this new season of business, where I'm not shooting a ton of weddings. I'm doing some portrait sessions and I'm still actively shooting and a photographer, but I'm also leaning in and helping people in business and in life in a way that I've just never thought that I could. I think he's trying to show me like, you're so limiting. Why don't you stop limiting possibilities? And I think that's a message to everybody. Like, how can you serve? How can your business be a ministry? Like, oh, I'm never going to have clients that will have conversations like Caitlin has. It's like, well, I didn't think so either. And then I started asking the Lord to show me and they came. Or I could, you know, for me, it's like, I don't think I'll ever be able to have an offer in my business that will help people with personal growth. Like people don't want that, but they do. I think he's just showing me not to limit him in my business.
We need to have little check-ins like this to ask, what is God teaching you in your business?
Yes.
We can add that to the podcast calendar.
We'll add that to the calendar. This has been so great. Also, I love doing this with you and having someone be like, okay, explain that. Do that.
Tell me more.
Yes. So thank you. And I hope for anyone listening that the desires ministry to be in your business, in the marketplace where you work, maybe you don't even own your own business, but like you were... Maybe you're staying at home with your kids, like that, gosh, the ministry there is the greatest ministry of your life. And I just think it's so freeing. The burden is lifted when you've realized that he can use you in so many different ways. And it doesn't have to be the big mega stories that are like, oh my gosh, listen to this transformation. It can be in the little tiny conversations with your children, with a coworker, with a friend that you meet up for coffee, on an Instagram caption you use to share where you are in life and spill over some of what God's doing. Like there's so many ways that he can use you. It starts by being willing to be used and asking him to show you potential. So thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review. Let us know. Email us. We like hearing from you guys. And I will see you next time.